we began. And our conversation, because of some of the questions that he had and what we were talking about, led to kind of this theme that I want to point out, because, and it came out too when I was praying for Luke there, and I also, it came out as we're just all praying for each other. And it's this place of, well, there's two things. Following the Spirit of God and living this Christian life, living this life, is not as complicated as we sometimes think it is, and as we sometimes make it out to be. It's not complicated. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You have Almighty God, who created everything that is, living in you. And he loves to speak to you. And he loves to commune with you. He loves to walk with you. He loves to share with you his heart. And he loves to, as we're praying for each other, he loves to pour things into us. Oh, pray for this, pray for that. And sometimes I think we overcomplicate things. We get in our own heads and we think, no, it must be more difficult than that. It has to be a little bit more like trigonometry or calculus or like astrophysics or something really complicated. And it's like, no, it's just walking with him. And I love it when we take that time to pray for each other and we just, okay, let's listen. Oh, we don't ask. Maybe we did at first, but I love how it's becoming so supernaturally natural to us. But maybe at first we were like, well, how do I listen? Do I, you know, really strain, and what part do I use? Do I use my ears? Do I use my nose? What do I do? And it's like, no, it's not that complicated. He lives in us and he speaks to us. And I was sharing with Josh, and I think I've shared it here before, but when we just become quiet, because that's part of the problem, right? We're so noisy in our heads. All this stuff goes around, at least in my head. Maybe for some of you, not so much. Again, for those of you who have your nothing room, your nothing box, you are blessed. I don't have one of those, okay? But you are blessed. But sometimes we get so much in our heads, and we try and overthink, and what happens there is our own, sometimes you get a mixture of our own fleshly desires, and our fears, and our worries, and our striving, and pressure from the outside world, pressures of job, pressures of providing, like, and real life stuff, okay? But then it starts muddying the waters and complicating. Whereas when we just become quiet before the Lord in worship, whether it's worshiping in song, or just spending some time just talking with him, and I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, I got to talk to you about this and this and this and this and this and this because we've got these problems and we've got that and everything like that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. Aww. I'm talking about, like, just that verse, right, that's, be still and know that I am God. Just, let's just enjoy each other for a few moments here. I love that in relationship. I think, like, you know, for those of you who know me, and I love hugging my wife, you know, and with her at least, I don't know with others, but with her, my love language is affection, you know, and words of affirmation too. That's mixed in there for myself, but I love just holding and just not overcomplicating it up here. It just becomes so still. I love doing that with my guys too. I still hug them even though they're 18, 21, and 22. I still like just giving them a hug every once in a while. And sometimes it's, you know, Jesse's a little bit more of a hugger, or, you know, they're all huggers and that, but just hold each other for a little bit. And it's just, I just enjoy that presence and that quietness and that stillness. I love doing that with the Lord. I wish I could hug him physically. I'm looking forward to that day. Okay? Have you ever seen that picture, First Moments in Heaven, where this woman has just wrapped her arms right around Jesus, and she's just like, you could see just on the side of her face, she's just like crazy overjoyed. I am looking forward to that day where I can give him a physical hug as well. Ah, that'll be good. But I also just, like, now in my walk with him, just love coming to him without questions. Yeah, I have a lot of questions. And so I do, I'm not saying I don't ask him questions at times, but I also love those times where I'm not asking questions, I'm not trying to figure out the problems of the world, I'm not a world conqueror or anything. I just come to him, oh, I love you, Lord. I love you so much. Thank you for how good you are. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your presence. Oh, I just love it. And not out of a religiosity kind of thing, like, oh, Lord, I thank you for your salvation, and I thank you for this and that. And I shouldn't say it that way, because I don't want to mock that. But it's just more this resting in him. I find at those moments, everything becomes really crystal clear. And it really is not complicated. And we can know what the Lord's will is. And sometimes during those moments, yeah, he will speak to me. And, oh, by the way, Kevin, like, as we kind of, like, we're embracing and then, you know, kind of step away from that embrace. Okay, I would like you to work on this, or I'd like to talk to you about that. And then we start talking about specifics. But in that place of be still and know that I am God, everything becomes clear. And I have written down here, it's so neat, conversation that I had with Josh before, some of our prayer time together here. I have written down, we know what is right. I am convinced of that, actually. Hebrews chapter 10, it quotes from Jeremiah, and it says in verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them. So according to the Old Testament, it's in the future. But after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. We live in that age where the law is no longer just in a book in front of us. Yes, praise God for black and white. Praise God for the scriptures written in our own language, right? But it's even more than that. It's written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit has resided in us and has began just inscribing on our hearts his ways, his thoughts, his character. I just see the Holy Spirit sitting in us, like in that holy of holy place, and just writing. And it's himself, like he's writing himself on our hearts. He's just writing. Maybe it's just with his finger. Maybe he doesn't have a pen. It's with his finger. He's just writing. And as we walk quietly with him, I find I know what is right. I know what is needed. I know what is good. When I don't know what is good, it's because I'm all over the place. My mind is racing. I'm trying to figure things out. I'm trying to be a world conqueror. Or I've got fears that are just holding me back. Or I've got anxiety about something. Or I'm trying to push my own agenda. Or I'm trying to, the flesh is rising up with its own stuff and trying to pull me back to Egypt, to the sinful nature and all that. Then it gets complicated. But once I just sit and I'm quiet and I'm still, I find that his law and his character is actually written on my heart. And it's not that difficult. The path becomes really clear. It's like the picture that Tyler had for Kira. The breadcrumbs are right there. Oh, there it is. Oh, there's another one. And then you walk a little forward and chew a little bit more. But for me, it's like dark chocolate M&Ms or something like that, you know? And it's really simple. It's not complicated. We just live life obediently. Live life according to what is on his heart and what he has said. And when we don't understand something, we go to the Word, and as we're reading the Word, we ask the Spirit of God, Spirit, can you explain this to me, please? Or maybe explain it is the wrong way to say it, because there we're looking for an intellectual understanding, and nothing against that, because he does say, come, let us reason together. So he loves to explain it, but there are some things that we're just not at a place where we can understand it yet. It's just like little Kira coming, or you know, one of the little ones, or even like Quinn and Evie and that. Can you explain this to me, Mom? Can you explain this to me, Dad? I can explain it in a way that I can understand it, but I'm not sure that you're at a place where you can understand it yet. You just don't have that capacity. And then you just the parent says, just trust me. Just trust me in this. Yeah, but I don't get it. I don't understand why I can't watch, you know, 10 hours of this, or I don't understand why I can't eat like chocolate all day, or I don't understand why, you know, just trust me in this. I don't understand why I have to go to bed. Trust me in this. Just trust me. You'll understand one day, but just trust me. And I find that as we quiet our hearts and we take that humble position before the Lord and we sit quietly before him, we know what he is saying. Like this might sound really simple, and I hope it does, but it's incredibly profound, and I am absolutely convinced of it. You already know. You already know. A lot of the questions that you have, you already know the answer to. And sometimes you know the answer is the Lord saying, you don't need to worry about that. Or I'm not going to answer that question. Sometimes we know that that's the answer. I'm not going to answer that question. Yeah, I know. I know I don't need to know that. I know I'm all worried. I know that I think that'll bring me happiness, or that will bring me contentment. Finding the answer for that will bring me contentment. But I know it won't. I know I'll just have 10 more questions then, 100 more questions. You're right, Lord. Yeah, just come here and sit with me. Come here. Don't overcomplicate. We've sometimes bought into the lie that we need to understand everything. We need to know everything. We don't. We need to know what the Lord shows us. And again, I think we know that. Like, I'm not even just talking theoretically. I mean, right in this moment at like 2:02 on February 3rd, you know, 2019, I believe the Spirit is revealing, we already know that. We know that. Another one that we sometimes buy into, this lie that we buy into, is we need to change the world. And I know that there's, again, loving, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ out there who are pushing that theology, if you will. Like, we are called to change nations. No, we aren't. We're called to follow Jesus, and he will change nations. And the body of Christ, the one worldwide body of Christ, will change nations. What you are called to do is walk with him. And do what you're called to do. And if you're called to go to another nation like Randy, you know, going to Sudan or going to Washington, D.C. or going to Ecuador in a few weeks here or wherever, then you just follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, you follow him there. But even there, it's not complicated. Randy isn't going to Ecuador in a few weeks in order to change Ecuador. I need to change Ecuador. Or even to change a single person. I need to change Francisco. You know, I need to change his heart. No, I'm going there. Why? He's going there. Why? Because he's just following Jesus there. And it's uncomplicated. And he can sit and rest in his hotel room, like in D.C. He gets to D.C. He's not sure why he's there even. Does he need to know? No, he doesn't need to know. Would he like to know? Yeah, maybe. But does he need to know? No. So I just sit here and wait. Worship the Lord. I'll pray. I'll do my thing. I'll read a book. I'll live life with my eyes fixed on him, with my ears ready. And then when he says, okay, I want you to go here. I want you to pray this. I want to release this through you. Okay. and it becomes so uncomplicated. It's just, I'm following him. I'm walking with him. I'm not taking the weight of the world on my shoulders. You know, God will use us in the Niagara region. That's a fact. But we're not called to change the Niagara region. Even, you know, the question about Niagara now and praying for all these different parts of life, you know, education and government and entertainment and all that. Yeah, I want to pray for those things. But you know what? It's not my job to change the government here in Niagara. That hasn't been put on my shoulders. My calling is to pray. I think about the entertainment. A few times in our prayer walks down in Old Town, when we've passed the Shaw Festival, the Lord has had us go in there and pray. I'm not called to change Shaw Festival. They've had some pretty raunchy plays there, some pretty ungodly plays, some pretty ungodly stuff going on there. I'm not called to change that. I'm not called to pick it. And try and like wrestle someone to the ground and change them. You know what I'm called to do? I'm called to walk out what God has called me to walk out. And a few times what he's had us walk out is when we've went there, we've prayed for them. And we've prayed that God would bring godly plays. And now, last year, they had the magician's nephew. This coming year, they're going to have the horse and his boy. Another C.S. Lewis play. And he's like, praise God. I pray that there would be more plays like this. I pray that those plays, when they do those, would be not only a blessing to the community, I pray that they would be the most financially beneficial for the Shaw Festival. Because that's, you know, Lord, I hear an amen in my spirit as I pray for that. I pray a blessing on godly entertainment. And I know that that's sometimes the way the world thinks, sometimes, you know. And so, okay, then use that, Lord, and bring out your message. We went to see The Magician's Nephew, and I know a number of us did. It's so amazing to see. Like, they didn't water it down. They didn't change things. The gospel, if people had eyes to see and ears to hear, they saw the gospel. They saw part of the gospel. Can't wait till they do The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, and Aslan dying on the altar and that. Like, okay. But you know what? It's not my, we got to see more of this. I'm gonna get a petition where get hundreds of signatures, thousands of signatures, so that they play The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe there next year. I got to make phone calls and try and twist arms and threaten. Maybe, we're going to boycott Shaw Festival if you don't do this, you know, kind of thing. No. Then all of a sudden the soul gets all stirred up. You get all worried. You start taking weight upon your shoulders And I know as I sit quietly before the Lord, and as I just stare into his face, and I know I'm using metaphorical language, but I really do. Like, I just stare at him sometimes. I know that, no, that's not what you want me to do. That's just silly. And by the way, don't worry, I don't struggle through that. I don't think that I need to get petitions in that. But the law of God, the ways of God, the character of God, and even the thoughts of God are clear in my spirit as my spirit communes with his spirit. And it's not complicated. I'm not turning myself into a pretzel trying to figure everything out. I'm just loving on Jesus. And here's the thing, too. I believe, yes, the world will be used by God. I mean, the church will be used by God to change the world. And how that will happen is we minister to the person in front of us. Each person in the body of Christ simply ministers to the person in front of them and listens to what the Lord is saying. And as we all walk that out in our own unique way, the world will be changed, or at least challenged to be changed. God's work will be done. And yeah, I want to emphasize, as we were praying for Luke there, and I wanted to emphasize with him, but this goes for all of us. Like, Luke will continue to be Luke. Whatever God has for Luke this year, you know, that light bulb, that spirit breakout, that the different things that we prayed over, he's still going to be Luke. Luke isn't called to try and be like me. No, this world only needs one of me, okay? You're called to be you. And that light will shine uniquely through you. And we don't have to, again, try and twist ourselves this way and that. Or maybe I was talking to Josh. We were talking about evangelism. And a few weeks ago, the week before, I was listening to a bunch of Todd White. And I love listening to him. I absolutely do. It's just challenging and it's exciting. And I love his heart, and oh man, he's preaching so much on holiness and purity and righteousness and repentance and all of that. And it's like, yeah, but I can't be Todd White. I would die if I tried to be like him. It just doesn't fit. And I think sometimes when these different people in the body of Christ are used by the Lord on a wider scale, and they have YouTube videos and they have large conferences and all this, and they go all over the world, sometimes the rest of us in the body of Christ, we start believing the lie, it needs to look like that in my life. I need to look like that. That's foolish. You're called to be you. How God wants to work through you. And I guarantee you this, if you sit quietly before the Lord, if you just find that place of rest, find that place of peace, be still and simply know that He is God, you will know what it looks like for you. Maybe not what it looks like a week from now for you, because the Lord might not answer that question. So don't demand answers that the Lord isn't willing to answer. If you hear him saying, you know what, that's for next week, you don't need that right now. Leave it at that. Trust him in that. But I guarantee you, if you sit still, you will know. I guarantee you already know. It's funny, I'm filled with so much faith on that statement right now today. You already know. You already know. There are so many times when Carlene and I first met Randy and Darla, and then came back to Canada, and we would meet with them every once in a while. We were just getting to know them. I would call them on the phone quite a bit. I'd email them quite a bit. And we were in pretty constant contact for the first little bit. I hardly ever talk to them now. I love them in that, but it just life goes on. But what I found is sometimes I would write them questions or I would ask them questions, and even before the end of the sentence was out of my mouth, I knew the answer already. It's like, I actually don't even need you to answer that. The Spirit of God is showing me the answer right now. And then it was confirmed. Like, Randy would answer. It's like, yeah, I knew you were going to say that because it's so obvious. You know? And some of them were really obvious. Like, I was slow on some things, right? Should I force Carlene to try and do that? Oh, never mind. I shouldn't. That's just wrong, you know. Do I have a right to get angry? Oh, never mind, right? We already know the answer. But here's the thing. Our flesh doesn't like the answers that God gives. Our old self doesn't like it. But that's where we need to say no to the flesh, no to the old ways of thinking. We say no, and we say yes to God. We know, we know what we should do. Okay, last thing before some questions then. This will sound weird because even as this stuff has been going through my head and I realize some of the things the Lord has ministered to us. So he's ministered to us things like suddenly. And he's ministered things to us like be diligent in the things of the Lord. He's ministered to us the thing of not things are pressing, but the urgency. That's the word I'm looking for. Urgency. And all of those have been from the Lord. And this is also from the Lord. Don't try so hard. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have that urgency. There needs to be that urgency. But when we try so hard, we go from one ditch into the other. And just be still and know that He is God. Let His urgency be your urgency. Let all of the urgency that we feel, that we sense, that we know is true, be from Him. And let Him fill you with all of His energy, Paul talks about, right? Filled with all of His energy to accomplish the things that we're called to accomplish. We were talking with Randy last week about hearing the voice of the Lord, and sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to try and hear the voice of the Lord, right? Like I said before, sharing with Tyler last night, I remember talking with Randy about this early on when I first met him in that, and he said to me, you know what, Kevin, you know the times I hear the voice of the Lord most often? It's not when I go into my room determined to hear Him. Okay, Lord, we don't know what to do as a church. We need direction. Where are we supposed to go? What building are we supposed to buy? How are we supposed to do this? I'm going to lock my door. I'm going to lock the door and not leave this room until you tell me. Eventually, he'll leave the room without having heard. He said, you know when I hear Him most? It's in between my walk from the office to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, the Lord will speak to me. And I know it's His voice. As we walk with the Lord, and we just lovingly and peacefully yield our life to Him over and over and over again, and just love on Him, and praise Him, and thank Him, and worship Him, and live that life of worship. It's like what Josh said, that may my life song sing to You. So not just our words in song, but just our life, how we walk through life and in that stillness and in that quietness. And He'll speak. So last night again, I go to bed. Or was it last night or the night before? Night before. I go to bed. Say goodnight to the guys. They're still up. I get into bed. My head hits the pillow. I try and be very conscious because Carlene goes to bed before me and she's often asleep and I don't want to make a big ruckus to wake her up. I get into bed, get all comfortable. I have to do a few turns. I don't know. It's kind of like those of you who have dogs who have a dog mat, you know how they have to do a few turns before they can settle down? That's me in bed. I don't understand it. I don't fight it. It's just the way it is. As soon as I get in my comfortable spot, start lying on my side, the Lord starts speaking to me. And I know I have to get up and write it down. How do you know? I just know. How do I know? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me and He started writing. He just started writing some things down. And I've learned long, long ago that lie of, oh, I'll remember it in the morning. Nope. That doesn't happen, at least with me. Not very often. So seriously, 5 seconds after my head hit the pillow in that comfortable position where I was ready to go to sleep, I had to get up. And I go to the kitchen, I get my Bible, I get my notebook, and I start writing. I don't fight it. I don't overcomplicate it. I just start writing down what He's called me to write down. And it has to do with my gifting, and that might not happen to you because, yeah, my gift and my calling is the teaching, preaching, pastoring, and so it was for us, and is some of this what I'm sharing today here, and there's other stuff that I'm sure will be shared another day, and I don't overcomplicate it with, well, why would God do that? I was just up before. Why didn't He talk to me before? I was talking to Him earlier in the day. I don't know. It's just the Lord. I'm not going to overcomplicate it by demanding that he answers every single question that I have. He's God, I'm not. That's that. And you know what I have found? As I live my life like that, man, life is peaceful. It's so wonderful. And even though I don't have a nothing room, a nothing box, like most guys do, I have found that there has been incredible peace in all the other rooms of my life. I was just remembering the other day when Randy was sharing how, I used to not be able to turn this off. I still do think a lot, but even my thoughts when they're, I wouldn't say racing. Racing is the wrong word. But even when they're going, it's still in such a place of peace. Like I didn't know 10 years ago. Be still and know that I am God. You know what is right. You know what is good because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Are there any comments or questions on this?
Yeah, that was really, it's like, I've been having a lot of this stuff this week, you know. For those who don't know, you know, it's sort of like, what are them future plans coming up, you know? So that's it for me. So it's sort of like, I was definitely looking, you know, and I was thinking of definitely, you know, looking at some Bibles with some different options, you know. And a lot of, even with what Randy was saying this week, he was bringing up, oh yeah, you know, don't just do something, like make sure it's sort of like, God, I forget how he worded it, but it was like, for me, it was like, okay, you know, I want to go to, like, a Bible school or whatnot, you know, and, you know, I think it would be very good for me, you know, I think right? It would, but it's like, I haven't gotten really an amen, yeah, God really wants me going to one, you know, so it was like, or it was sort of like, then, you know, I found myself, though, there's like, I was looking at them, oh, am I even supposed to be looking at any, am I supposed to be doing nothing on which one, if there is, you know, we got all these options here, and it's like, you know, there's the anxiety coming up, and there's even, you know, this frustration, because it's like, you know, God, can you just reveal this to me? I just want to know this, you know, and mm-hmm. It's just, God ended up, though, yeah, he was ministering to me, because it's like, again, that sentence of, Braden, do you trust me? Yeah. It's like, do I think God's going to reveal something, but make sure I can't, like, understand it or won't be able to get it, you know? It's like, he's then either cruel or just doesn't know how I were, or like,
yeah,
me, it's like God doesn't make mistakes, God is not cruel. So it's like, yeah, God, forgive me for not trusting in you and that you will reveal what you have planned, and just again, that place of just really needing to rest in Him, you know, and just needing to, okay, you're just gonna reveal it in your time, you have it figured out. Just for me, just if, as long as I'm keeping my eyes on you, that's all I'm called to do, you know? And it's like, then I'm covered, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's like, definitely wasn't feeling that peace, you know, when you're sort of running there. It's just, you know, it's feeling anxiety, frustration, all that. And it's like, that's not what God's calling me towards, you know? So.
Right. Okay, so two things from that. And that's awesome. Like, oh, I so blessed that. Okay, so two things. Anxiety, frustration, fear, anger, entitlement, fleshly desires, all these things will totally rob us of hearing the Lord. It's incredibly difficult, if nigh impossible, to hear the Lord when we're swimming in that kind of stuff. And so the first thing is, yeah, be still and know that I am God. Come to that place of peace. Remind yourself that, you know what? He's God, and he loves me, and he's not playing games with me. And he has this, and he is trustworthy, and he is good. And he sees me, and he knows me. So you remind yourself of these things, and the fear and anxiety and frustration, all that, start to just melt away. And then you repent for what you need to repent of. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for trusting in my fears rather than trusting in you. And you work through it that way. Second thing, I love how you said at the end, as long as I'm keeping my eyes fixed on him, it's all going to be fine. Like, it's going to be good. You're going to know what you need to know when you need to know it. Because for those of us who are maybe on the more of the side, personality-wise, of the fear and the, up, the panic and the, you know, overthinking things. We need to be brought to that place of stillness and reminded that way. But there are some other people who are maybe take a more of a life approach, and there's a few in this room like this, of, well, if God wants to talk to me, he'll talk to me. I'll just keep on going with life, you know, and if there's a problem, he'll show me. And there's a certain, oh, that sounds beautiful. But no, it's this place of, I would tell that person, fix your eyes on Jesus. Pursue him. Pursue him. Not in anxiety, but usually those people aren't dealing with anxiety anyways. It's like, remind yourself to passionately pursue him and fix your eyes on him and actually present yourself to him. There's a few of you like that in this room that need to be reminded of that. And I see my wife smiling. She's one of them. And she has learned. It's so awesome. If you could see how she has changed over the last years, because it was very much this place of, well, no, I'm good. Every life is good. And just plow ahead, right? You know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, fix your eyes on Christ. Pursue him. Love on him. Okay? So you have the both. But as we both approach from different ditches, you know, we both come to that place of, be still and know that I am God. Fix your eyes on me, and I have this. I've got this. I will show you what you need to know when you need to know it. So good, Braden. And you will know. He already knows, and you already know that it's right to just trust him, and I'm just going to rest in you, Lord. I'm going to do what I know I'm called to do. I don't know everything, but I know some things, and I'm going to walk those things out, you know, and then he'll show you what you need to know when you need to know it. It's good. Any other questions or comments?
I think to live like this, we need to be people of prayer.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's about a relationship with God, and like it, yeah, we all have different giftings, callings, talents. We're all made differently, but we're all made for relationship with God, and God is the one who wants to just lead us and speak to us. And yeah, I've just been impressed upon my heart, especially since Randy has come again, just reminded of like, we're only gonna know if we are spending time listening and communing with God.
Yeah.
And it's so key. No matter what gifting or how you are, we all are meant to talk and listen with God.
Right. And it's not that, again, I want to emphasize, it's not that he will show you what you're asking when you're praying to him about something. Like, he might, but it's more we spend that time with him so that we know. Just like I spend time with Carlene, and the more time I spend with her, the more I know her, and then I can walk into a room and be like, something's up here. Or, you know, just know her heart. And so, too, we get to know God's heart. We spend that time, and we will know. I also want to emphasize one thing, or just point out one thing. She talked about we need to be people of prayer. 100% agree. But not anxious prayer. Now, I understand if you read through the Psalms, some of those Psalms start off in a very anxious way. Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Why are you so far off? You don't even hear me. Why have you abandoned me? You know, and so this is in the Psalms. But by the end of the psalm, it's, ah, Lord, I trust you. It's like what Braden was saying. I trust you. You're good. You have this. You're right. So we want to be people of prayer, but less and less those anxious prayers, less and less those demanding prayers as if we're in charge, less and less that kind of place, more and more of these prayers of, I thank you, and I love you, and I know you. I thank you for how you've revealed yourself to me. I thank you for who you are and reminding ourselves of who he is. Does that make sense? Yeah.
One of my favorite people in the Bible is Enoch, because it's so simple, like just Enoch just walk with God. And it's like, oh. Yeah, so there, that's it.
Yep. He walked with God and then he was no more.
Since the mic was close by.
There you go.
Yeah, sometimes I think about that prayer meeting where they were praying for Paul to get out of prison, or for Peter, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then he's at the door and they're all like, but I think about, okay, in the Bible we hear a lot about, you know, the big guys and the big stories.
Right.
But there were a lot of other people behind all those big stories. And God, I'm sure, obviously used those people to build his church as well, but we don't hear about those big stories.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we feel like we have to be a big story.
Right.
And I think, you know, a lot of times maybe we're just called to be the behind the, you know, the stories behind the stories.
Yeah.
The underneath things.
Absolutely.
And just something that happened to me last Sunday afternoon, and leading up to it, I've sort of been, like what you've been talking about today has sort of been happening with me. Just spending more quiet time with God, looking forward to it, like looking forward to getting into my room and not even to, like you say, pray about specifics, but just to be with God and just to be quiet and to be, you know, sometimes I'm not even, I don't even read the Bible or anything. Like, I'm just there and just listening or whatever. But last Sunday after church, Ian and I took the dog out for a walk, and it was, there was snow on the ground, but there had been ice underneath. And as we were walking up ahead of us, there was a lady walking, and all of a sudden she slipped on the ice and fell. And she didn't get up right away, and I was a little concerned. So we went up to her to see if she was okay, and by the time we got there, she had stood up, and she was, but she was very dizzy and so on. She said, would you mind walking me to my house, because I'm feeling very dizzy. I don't know if I can make it. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And so she sort of was holding on to my arm, and we were walking very slowly because she was not feeling well. And as we were slowly walking to her house, she started crying. And she said, oh, she said, I am so lonely. She said, my husband died in April, and I have no family here, and I am so lonely. And I just was like, so I just shared my, you know, my story too with her, and it was just like God had put me there for her at that moment, and just put that together. And so I got her to her house, and we had been talking about it, and so then I said, well, I'd like to come tomorrow morning and check on you to see if you're okay. And she said, yeah, that would be fine. She didn't invite me. I was kind of letting her. Mm-hmm. She didn't invite me in or anything, so I was like, fine, okay. So I went by the next morning, and she invited me in for tea, and we talked for a couple of hours. And she's a Christian. She believes in God. She had Oswald Chambers as her. She showed me her little Oswald Chambers calendar and everything. But just to share the grief with her, and then she, as we were talking, she was asking me, do you really believe that God speaks to us? And I said, yeah, I really do. He does. And she says, I haven't heard him speak to me like that. So it was just, and it was interesting because Randy was just talking about that on Sunday, you know, and it was just such an amazing thing. But I was so overcome with God's graciousness and his to be used by him like that was sort of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything I planned or prayed for or asked, you know, like specifically.
Right.
It just was being there and being, I guess, willing, you know. And then when we were talking, it was so, and then I asked her if I could pray for her before I left, and it just felt so like it wasn't me.
Right.
It wasn't me. The words were his, and the whole thing was God. It was just, it's an amazing thing.
That's so good. And like we can see, right? Like my question would be, well, how do you know it was God? Well, you know. Like, and we can all see it right now, right? We can all hear it right now. Yeah, that was God. That was God. We know.
Yeah. That was awesome. But I was like that lady at 18 or as a teenager, you know, does God speak? And I'm crying out to God, feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking what you're saying, you know, prayers of desperation. I think that was it had to be part of my life.
Absolutely.
To seek God. And because he didn't answer right away. There was so much he had to teach me. And before I could come to the place of, oh, but God, I know you're here. Like, I didn't have that assurance at that point. And now, you know, because I did cry out, he taught me so much. And I had to fall on my face and almost like get a second salvation experience and know that it's grace that saved me and not works. And I had to come through all of that. And now it's so special.
Yeah.
Know? Now I have that peace and he speaks.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Let me have a little bit of a do-over. I can do those, right? We can do those. With regards to the anxious prayers and that, because you're right, obviously it's in the Psalms, and so those prayers do have a place, but don't end there. Maybe that's my do-over. Don't end. Don't remain in those anxious place prayers. And I think what I have found is the closer and closer I get to God, the more and more time I spend with him and just remain in him, the anxious part of my prayers, if you will, become less and less, because I know right from the beginning, even if I'm going through turmoil, I know more and more from the beginning that he is good and he is trustworthy and he is right. So I don't want the enemy to use what I said about anxious prayers to, I shouldn't be praying like this. Oh, I'm such a horrible person. Because, yeah, the enemy just plays those games. No. Like, if you're hurting, tell God. And if you don't hear him, you don't feel him, oh, Lord, I don't feel you, but I know you are near. I don't hear you, but I know you're speaking. I trust that you are speaking. I believe it. I pray that you'd wash all the dirt out of my ears and put mud on my eyes and then wipe it off, have me wash so that I can see, you know, remove the scales from my eyes just like you did with Paul. So there is a place, like you say, those desperate cries out to God, oh, God, where are you? He uses that because they come from such a real and sincere place. And then the goal is, I want to move to the end of the psalm more and more rapidly, where, and I trust you and I know you. And oh, even in the midst of this craziness, your presence is so much so evident, and you are so good, and I'm reminded of your goodness and all of this. Does that make sense? Is that a good do-over? I can do that? Okay. Anyone else? Just a bundle of cuteness. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship in song together. Lord, I thank you that you live in us. I can't even imagine life and trying to follow you without you living in us. I have so much, I don't know what the right word is, sympathy or what for Old Testament saints. And how they had the word in front of them, but they didn't have the word in them. I thank you that we have you in us. Holy Spirit, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us, residing in us, choosing us, drafting us. I pray a stillness over us, Lord, a quietness throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout our lives, Lord. I pray a stillness and a quietness where we would simply know you and know that you are God. I pray against the enemy coming in and complicating things. I pray against our own flesh. I pray that our flesh would submit, yield. I think of David's prayer, "Be still, my soul." I pray that our souls would be still and quiet before you. And thank you that we already know you. I thank you that we know you. I thank you that we know your ways. If we're honest, we know your ways already, and that your ways are right and good and lovely. They are excellent and praiseworthy. Thank you for your presence here with us manifest. I pray, one of my requests, Lord, is that your presence would be more and more manifest in our lives, that we would recognize you more and more, that we would recognize your coming and your going, that we would recognize when you send angels to minister to us, that we would recognize what's going on, that we would recognize your voice. Open our ears more and more, open our eyes more and more. I do pray for that, Lord. And with that, I thank you again for all that we already do know. I thank you for all that we already have heard. I thank you for these testimonies, Lord, of hearing you and of you pouring through us, Lord. I thank you that we can see you in these areas, see you in these ways, see you. And as always, Lord, our prayer is for more of you. A bigger hug, a deeper hug, and a deeper change in our lives. More of your Spirit working in us and through us, all for your glory. And we want to just follow you, Lord, in peace. And pray all these things in your name.